From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. In a few minutes, we'll be joined by the former U.S. ambassador to NATO as that NATO summit gets underway in Wales.
But first, to Wales, where world leaders are gathering today. In his welcome address, British Prime Minister David Cameron called NATO the anchor of our security.
And over the next 2 days, we must reinvigorate and refocus this alliance to tackle new threats and to ensure it continues to foster stability around the world.
Two of those new threats that are dominating the conversation in Wales are the conflict in Ukraine and the recent dramatic rise of ISIS in Iraq and Syria. NPR's Ari Shapiro is in Wales for the summit, and he's with us now. Ari, welcome.
Hi, Jeremy.
Well, this summit was originally intended to focus primarily on Russia and the conflict in Ukraine. What's actually being talked about there? What are you hearing about today?
Russia really is at the top of the agenda, and there's a lot of skepticism here in Wales about the peace deal that has apparently been discussed between Russia and Ukraine. We're hearing from everybody, from the President of the United States, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, the Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen, that Russia is, as they put it, ripping up the international rulebook in its actions in eastern Ukraine. So across the NATO countries, we're hearing promises to support Ukraine in various ways, and also to defend NATO members that share a border with Russia. Those would be Baltic states like Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, also countries like Poland, to defend them against any possible Russian incursions into their territory that might echo what we've seen in Ukraine.
But when you say support Ukraine in various ways, and we know that Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko is in Wales, he's meeting with President Obama and the leaders of some other countries, what does that mean, support Ukraine in various ways?
That's a complicated question because Ukraine is not a NATO member country, so it's not covered by this agreement that an attack on one NATO member state is an attack on all. As you say, President Obama and the president of Ukraine met with some other European leaders today. Reporters were not allowed in that meeting, but a readout was distributed by the White House Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes. He said, quote, "The leaders reiterated their condemnation of Russia's continued flagrant violation of Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity and agreed on the need for Russia to face increased costs for its actions. What those costs will be is unclear."
Okay. Now, there is another big headline coming out of this summit, and that is that President Obama and the British Prime Minister David Cameron published an op-ed in the Times of London today, and they talked about Russian aggression in Ukraine, but they also talked about the threat from ISIS, and they said, quote, "Those who want to adopt an isolationist approach misunderstand the nature of security in the 21st century." What more do we know about that and what they're planning?
Well, ISIS has become a real headline, as you say, partly because of this video showing a second journalist beheaded and news that there is yet a third British hostage who is being threatened with the same fate. Thousands of European and American passport holders have gone over to join the fight in Iraq and Syria. And so leaders keep reiterating, including, as you say, Prime Minister Cameron and President Obama, that ISIS presents a threat to NATO and NATO has to agree on how to address it. Some of that is a financial commitment. Also in the op-ed, Obama and Cameron said the U.S. and the U.K. are two of only four NATO member countries that meet the commitment of 2% of spending GDP on defense. And so they're telling people, put your money where your words are and back up your commitments with actual cash.
But it does sound like, reading this op-ed, they're taking a very hawkish approach, trying to maybe rally the troops in NATO to do something more concrete.
To do something more concrete, but when you ask what specifically it's going to be, it's not clear. The U.S. has done airstrikes. The U.K. has resisted that approach. Everybody talks about building regional coalitions, supporting Kurdish forces on the ground, bolstering an inclusive Iraqi government. But beyond that, there are differences among the various NATO member states.
Okay, one more thing I want to ask you about, Ari, and that is that there was a meeting today about ending NATO's combat mission in Afghanistan. Tell us what happened there.
Well, this is the NATO mission of the last decade. I mean, for 10 years, NATO combat troops have been serving in Afghanistan, and that combat mission ends this year. So at this event, the ceremony, really, there was drumming, there was music, and service members marched into the room holding the flags of the various countries representing the troops who have served in Afghanistan over the last decade. And it embodied the shift that this NATO summit represents from this old Afghan conflict of the last decade to this new conflict, whether we're looking at Russia and Ukraine or the threat of ISIS that is the conflict of the present day and likely of the future.
NPR international correspondent Ari Shapiro joining us from Cardiff, Wales, where the president is, along with other members of NATO. Ari, thank you.
You're welcome, Jeremy.